of Jesus, you can say he died for all. If you can, the words chosen for this morning are from the 8th chapter of Romans, beginning with the 37th verse. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor created, nor any other thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. In Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd who sends men as shepherds. Dear friends, on this campus, there is a four-year liberal arts college of which you're all aware, I assume, by now. Also, in addition to this, there is a Lutheran seminary across the ravine named Bethany Lutheran Theological Seminary. The purpose of that seminary is to train men for the pastoral ministry, so that our local congregations have pastors who preach the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. This text speaks of the triumphant message of those in the public ministry. They proclaim our victorious Savior who has made us more than conquerors in him. Without him, we are nothing. We are sinful creatures whose bodies are rotting away slowly and surely, and who will eventually end up without him in the fires of hell. So the question that comes this morning is, considering all that, do we think that Jesus is all that important in our life? We could be sitting here this morning thinking, I'm not all that interested in Jesus Christ and his redemptive work. I'm still in college. I have my whole life ahead of me. I have places to go and things to do. I'll worry about that later. What's the most important thing in your life this morning? Is it making it through college, getting a lucrative job, and living in a beautiful mansion? Is it having a Bentley or a Lexus or whatever the favorite car is with all the bells and whistles? Is the good life, does that mean to you, the person who dies with the most toys is the winner? Or maybe the most important thing is becoming powerful, famous, and revered by all. I want to be the doctor that makes the great cancer breakthrough. I want to be a renowned playwright or a great theologian. I want to be in Who's Who. I want to be the athlete that wins the gold for the Americas and be remembered in the history books. There's nothing really wrong with any of those things, but still they have no lasting value or meaning without our Lord Jesus. A lucrative job that can become obsolete as technology increases. I've seen that in my life many times. A person who has great wealth can lose it overnight with the ups and downs of the stock market. You can become oh so famous so important, and it won't be long before they'll pass you by on the street without even a glance. And then, finally, all the wealth and power that we manage to gather in this life, all the things that we think it takes to make us happy, won't really mean too much as one of a variety of dreaded diseases begin to grow within. Every one of us here is going to have to stand before God's judgment throne, that God who demands complete perfection in thought, word, and deed. And we know that we fail again and again in our lives. But, and here's the important but in this sermon. There's been nothing good so far in this sermon. But the but is the victorious Savior has made us conquerors in Him. Alexander the Great was a conqueror. Kublai Khan was a conqueror. Patton was a conqueror. But they were all pansies in comparison to our victor divine, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of what He did for you. He lived, first of all, a holy life in your place. And He crushed Satan under His feet in the battle of the ages on the cross. There, He defeated all our foes, even the most terrible, the most deadly. He entered into death itself, ripping it apart, tearing it to pieces. So now death is not the end of everything, but rather a new and great beginning in joy. He took upon Himself your sins, your failures, whatever they may be, and my terrible sins. He took them upon Himself. He took upon Himself my death and my hell, and gives us full forgiveness, new life, and salvation. That treasure is offered to you this morning. In the means of grace, it is the greatest thing there is. Because only that will give you peace and purpose in this life. Only that will give you the strength to make it through today with all the burdens and struggles that we face. In His word and sacrament, He gives us the power to go forward, regardless of how difficult it may be. Regardless of what we're afraid of or what concerns us. And there's a variety of concerns that we have as we begin a new school year with new people, new things. Am I going to be able to handle this whole thing? I know that when I was where you were, I had this feeling that I wanted to walk a number of times. But the Lord Jesus is there as your helper all the way. And even more. In the words before this text, St. Paul says, when I consider the sufferings of this present life, they're not even worthy to be compared to the glories of heaven. He assures each one of us, by faith in Him, of eternal life in heaven. That's the wonderful message that those in the public ministry proclaim. Therefore, this morning, I would like to encourage every young man here to consider the preaching and teaching ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to encourage every young lady here to consider the teaching ministry, caring for the little ones in our Christian day schools. There is no greater work because you offer peace for this life and hope for the life to come. If full-time service is not possible for us, then don't think there's nothing that we can do. Share the gospel with those around you that have no hope, share the good news of full forgiveness in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a picture that I love very much. It's called The Rock of Ages. In the picture, there is a stormy sea, and the winds are blowing. I don't like water real well anyway. Winds are blowing, the waves are flowing, hitting this huge stone that's formed in a shape of a cross. And at the bottom of the cross, at the foot of the cross, there's a woman holding on with both arms for dear life. That's each and every one of us. We are holding on to Jesus Christ, the Rock of Ages, in the storms of life, and we are secure in him. Wonderful picture. But there's a better one. Same storm, same waves, same cross-shaped stone. But this time, the woman has one arm around the cross. And with the other, she's pulling up another person that's drowning. I would encourage each and every one of you to hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith alone. It's our only hope. With one arm and with the other, draw more and more to the Savior. Is there a need? Oh, yes, we know the discouragement, the conflicts, the sorrows all around us. And we have the only thing that will help. Our victorious Savior, who has made us more than conquerors in him, is asking each one of us to share the good news. He is calling for pastors and teachers. He's calling for you. Let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do, while the souls of men are dying and the Master calls for you. Take the task he gives you gladly. Let his work your pleasure be. Answer quickly when he calleth. Here am I. Send me, send me. Amen. We arise. Let us pray. As we begin another school year, dear Father in heaven, we ask you to bless our seminary, our college, and synod with the continual gentle rain of the gospel centered in Christ's redemptive work. Through your Holy Spirit, give our professors a spirit of wisdom and understanding so that they teach all their courses in the love and compassion of the Savior. Give each of our students a ready and teachable mind to receive all this instruction in your inerrant word, then they will indeed grow in the knowledge of salvation. This morning, we also pray for the family of Ruth Weber, her husband Paul, and her son John. Ruth is battling daily terminal cancer. Her husband, Paul, is a seminary student at the seminary, and things are difficult for her. Let us pray. O God, our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble, you invite the weary and the heavy laden to come to you for rest. Look with your divine light and life on this, our Christian sister Ruth. Give her strength to bear the pain and suffering of this ravening disease. Be her refuge and stay, her comfort in this present affliction. Give solace and strength to Paul as he stands by his wife by night and by day, and raises their little son in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. O blessed Jesus, O hold Ruth secure in your loving arms, bringing her rest and healing according to your will. Strengthen her, help her all the way until that time that you carry her to the heavenly shores, where we will weep no more. We ask it in your merciful name. Amen. We continue with the hymn.